6. The Last Adam. Despite the difficulties faced by believers in this world, we have faith that when our time here is over, a new eternal life awaits us, one that cannot be compared to the life of trial and tribulation that is currently our lot. Romans 8, 18, and 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and 17. We know with the eyes of faith that this frail body and this sinful world are not the end. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. We believe and understand through faith that all we see is temporary. 2 Corinthians 4, 18. Whereas the wonderful new world and marvelous new body we anticipate will last forever. 2 Peter 3, 13. And Revelation 3, 5. Despite our collective eviction from Eden through the sins of our first parents Adam and Eve, the gates of the eternal Eden, the New Jerusalem, now lie open wide for us. Matthew 25, 34, and Revelation 21, 5, 22, 14. Only our short tour of duty here in the devil's world now separates us from those ineffable glories to come in Eden, replaced, restored and rendered better than before to an incomprehensible degree. Revelation 22, 1 through 5. And we know whom we have to thank for our deliverance from sin and death, and from this world of sin and tears, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who by his death bought us out of this kingdom of darkness. Romans 3, 24, Colossians 1, 12 through 14, and 1 Peter 1, 18 through 20, and his loving Father and ours, who loved us so much he sacrificed his only Son on our behalf. John 3, 16. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are accursed, more than any beast or wild animal. You shall go on your belly and eat dust all the days of your life. And I shall place hostility between you and the woman, that is between your seed and her seed, that is Christ. He will attack you head on, but you will attack him from behind." Genesis 3, 14 and 15. Adam was the first man, and through him sin and death entered into the world. Romans 5, 12 through 14. But God did not abandon humanity. God anticipated our collective fall from grace in Adam's sin and proclaimed the good news of salvation through faith even before expelling Adam from Eden. God promised that Eve's seed would one day come to crush the head of the enemy. Genesis 3, 15. The one without sin would come to die for our sins. Romans 5, 15 through 21, and so remove once and for all the problem of sin, the fear of death, and the inevitability of condemnation brought on by the fall of the first Adam. 1 Corinthians 15, 21. To accomplish all this, God's own Son would have to become flesh. Isaiah 7, 14. Jesus would have to enter this world as a true human being. Philippians 2, 6 through 8, the last Adam. 1 Corinthians 15, 45. So that while we all face death as a result of our ancestry in the first Adam, we might all be made alive through our adoption as sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. 1 Corinthians 15, 22, and Galatians 3, 26. For this reason it has also been written of the first Adam, the man became a living person, nephesh. But the last Adam, Jesus Christ, became a life-giving spirit. 1 Corinthians 15, 45. It is therefore our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who holds the key to re-entering Eden. Revelation 1, 18, and he is the gate by whom all may now enter into eternal life through faith. John 10, 7 through 9. We who have put our faith and hope in him will indeed physically re-enter Eden in resurrection, not the temporal Eden of Adam and Eve with its opportunity for falling, but a new and glorious eternal Eden, where there is no tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but only the tree of life. Revelation 22, 2, the new Jerusalem on the new earth, where only righteousness will dwell. 2 Peter 3, 13, and Revelation 21 and 22. Jesus Christ, the last Adam, is the one who has taken away the curse upon the first Adam and upon us his progeny, having become a curse for us also that we might be blessed eternally in him. Galatians 3, 10 through 14. Therefore since death came through a man, that is the first Adam, resurrection of the dead also has and had to come through a man, that is Jesus Christ, the last Adam. For just as in Adam all die, that is all human beings are under Adam's curse, So also in Christ shall all be made alive. That is, all believers are delivered from Adam's curse by being baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:21 and 22. Through our faith in Jesus Christ we have been baptized into him. Matthew 28:19, Romans 6:3 and 4, Galatians 3:27, Ephesians 4:5, Colossians 2:12, and 1 Peter 3:21, and have become one body with him. For example, Ephesians 1:23, 2:16, 3:6, 4:4, 4:12, 4:16, and 5:23-30. Through his act of sacrifice and becoming a man and dying for us, yes, and being resurrected for us, our Lord has wedded himself to us all, to all saved mankind forevermore, so that we his church are now his very bride. Romans 7:1-4. 1 Corinthians 6:15. 2 Corinthians 11:2. Ephesians 5:23-30. And Revelation 19:7-9. 21:2, 21:9, and 22:17. The last Adam is therefore the Son of Man. Mark 8:31, the firstborn of all creation. Colossians 1:15, the one in whom all things are now summed up in heaven and on earth. Ephesians 1:10. For all the problems of sin and death brought upon humanity by the first Adam and perpetuated by all his progeny have been washed away forever by the blood of the Lamb. The last Adam has resolved the problem of sin and has conquered death for all time, so that in him there is now only eternal life, blessing and deliverance for all who truly belong to him. Thus the last Adam has not only regained all that was lost by the first Adam, including regency over the world. Colossians 2:14-15, Hebrews 1:3, 2:5-9, and Revelation 11:15. To be re-established in practice at the second advent. Psalm 2:45, 48, 72, Isaiah 2:1-5, Ezekiel 38:35, Daniel 7:14, Zechariah 14, Luke 1:32-33, 2 Thessalonians 1:6-10, and Revelation 19:11-26. But he has also opened up the gates of eternity to a better everlasting life and victory and blessing in the New Jerusalem to come beyond anything the Eden of old could ever have provided. Hebrews 12:22-24, and Revelation 21:22. For it is not to angels that he subordinated the world to come, which is our present topic, but someone testifies at some point saying, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels, you crowned him with glory and honor. You made him sovereign over all the works of your hands, you put everything under his feet. For in subordinating the world to him, he left nothing that was not subordinate to him. However, we do not now yet see the world in subordination to him. But we do now see Jesus crowned with glory and honor on account of the death he suffered. Even him who became a little lower than the angels for a brief span, so that by the grace of God he might taste death on behalf of us all." Hebrews 2:5-9. Thus it is that we sons of the first Adam by physical birth have become sons of God by being born again through faith in the person and the saving work of the last Adam, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who suffered death on our account that we all might live together forever with him in the resurrection body and an eternal paradise which will outshine in every way the status quo of the Eden of Adam and Eve. In this way, God has so ordained the events of human history that saved mankind can look forward to a future destiny that is in every way better than even the best which has gone before, but only because of the sacrifice of the last Adam, whose blood has blotted out for all time the original and resulting sin of the first Adam and those of all his progeny. Thanks be to God for this his indescribable gift. So just as through one man, that is Adam, whose antitype is Christ, sin came into the world and, through sin, death, and thus, that is Adam physically passing on his sin nature resulting in universal spiritual death, death spread to all mankind. For obviously everyone sins, that is universal sinning proves universal spiritual death. For even before the law was handed down, There was indeed sin in the world, but, when there was no law, sin was not being taken into account by us as it was after the law. Nevertheless, sin did reign over mankind during the period from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin in a manner similar to Adam. That is by violating a clearly stated divine prohibition, who is a type of the one destined to come. That is Christ, the last Adam. But the offense of the former is not at all like the favor of the latter. For though it is true that the human race is perishing on account of the offense of that one man Adam, how much more has the grace of God and his gracious gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to this same human race? Indeed, the gift is not at all like the universal death that came through that one person who sinned. For in the former case the divine judgment that resulted from one person led to universal condemnation, but the divine favor based upon the sacrifice of the one has led to the accomplishment of universal justification in response to many offenses. For though it is true that on account of the offense of the one death reigned through that one, that is by Adam passing down his sin to his progeny, how much more will those who receive this abundance of grace, even this gift of righteousness through justification, rule and eternal life through the sacrifice of the one, Jesus Christ? So then, just as through the offense of that first one the progression of sin and death has fallen upon all men resulting in their condemnation, so through the accomplishment of justification by the one, God's countervailing progression of grace has led to justifying the lives of all men who believe in Christ. For just as through the disobedience of the first man the human race found itself sinful, so through the obedience of the one the human race will find itself accounted as righteous, that is justified, through faith in him. Romans 5:12-19. As believers, we have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into Jesus Christ, so that we are now in him. 1 Corinthians 12:13, 2 Corinthians 5:17, Romans 6:3-4, Galatians 3:27, Colossians 2:12, and 1 Peter 3:21, and in the Father and the Spirit as well. We are all sons of God in Jesus Christ. John 1:12-13, Romans 8:14, 8:19, Galatians 3:26, 4:4-7, and 1 John 3:1, part of his bride and his body, the church. Romans 12:5, 1 Corinthians 12:27, Ephesians 5:25-32, and Revelation 19:7-9, 21:9, and 22:17. In addition to being baptized into Christ by the Spirit, all Christians have also been baptized with the Spirit. That is, we have all been given that spiritual unction which Christ promised us. John 4:13-14, 7:37-39, 14:16-17, 15:26, 16:13-15, and Acts 1:4-5, and we have this special empowering presence of the Spirit as a pledge, a guarantee of our salvation to come. Ephesians 1:13-14, 4:30, and 2 Corinthians 1:22, 5:5. As long as this holy seed remains in us, we are incapable of continuing in the life of sin which leads to death. 1 John 3:9. Instead, we have been born again into a new, eternal life by responding in faith to the water of the Word of God, the gospel message about Jesus, and by the leading of the Spirit of God. John 3:5-8. All who believe in Jesus Christ have this victory over sin and death through faith by the grace of God. 1 John 5:4, and Ephesians 2:8-9. All who believe in Jesus Christ have their names written in God the Father's Book of Life. Exodus 32:32-35, Psalm 69:28, Daniel 12:1, Philippians 4:3, and Revelation 3:5. All who continue faithfully in their belief in Jesus Christ have this sure and certain hope of eternal life and resurrection, like an anchor entering into heaven itself. Hebrews 6:18-20. In Jesus we are certain of our blessed eternal destiny, as long as we maintain our position in him with unwavering faith. John 15:1-8, and Romans 11:17-24. For he is the only way back to paradise.